Bibles to the book of Acts. Stay standing. I'm going to read it as we stand. I'm going to read two verses in Acts chapter 16. When you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, don't say anything. Just get there. Acts chapter 16. Going to be talking today about your prayer life. Because if something don't start in prayer, it will probably end in despair. Amen. But when it starts in prayer, it's going to go there. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to go where you need it to go. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I'm going to read two verses. And it's about Paul and his friends, believers, we know they are. They were on their way to prayer and something happened. And I want us to see what happened and how they dealt with it and what the outcome was. So verse 16 says, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and instantly it left her. In another translation, that was in the New Living Translation, in New King James Version, it says it like this. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Amen. You can take your seats. Praise the Lord. Turn around, look at someone, say, ooh. When we see this portion of scripture, straight away we see what was the reality and what was normal in the lives of some of the great, these great champions of faith, that they prayed. They were on their way to the place of prayer. And how many of you know the place of prayer doesn't have to be the church, it doesn't have to be a temple, it doesn't have to be anything, it is just a place of prayer. It's a designated specific place, it's an intentional place, it's something that you go to. Sometimes you have a prayer closet, sometimes you have a place that you pray. And how many of you know you don't even have to go anywhere, but there's a place that you go to when you pray. Amen. You could be standing on a bus and there's a place that you go to when you pray. You can be sitting down in Starbucks or Costa, depending upon which one you favor, or the CAF or McDonald's, and you can go to a place of prayer. It means that there is a place where you and God get together. It's intentional, it's relational, and there's something that's going to happen in that place. It's something that we need to be looking forward to, something that we need to, a place that we need to know is a safe place. It's a place of power, it's a place of sanctuary, it's a place of answers. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about, the place of prayer. And Paul and his people, his friends, they were on their way to the place of prayer. And when they were on their way to the place of prayer, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of the blue, a slave girl, a young girl, a person came, and she was, we know from the text, that she was possessed by a demon. And this demon was a spirit of divination. We're even told what type of spirit it was, a spirit of divination. Now this word literally in the Greek text is a pitha. And it's a python spirit. And it was an oracle spirit. They used to have in the Greek lands, they had an oracle called the Oracle of Delphi. It was a place and people would go there from all over the Greek Greek lands and all over the known world, and they would go to this place and they would have their fortune told by a slave girl that was possessed by a demonic spirit, and it was a python spirit. And this girl was possessed with this spirit, and she was owned by people that used to make money off of the fortunes that she used to tell people. And how many of you know that we all want to know what's coming next? Come on now. How many of you want to know what's coming next in your life? Praise the Lord. How many of you want to know what the lottery numbers are going to be next week? Some of you are all getting all religious on me right now. You go, no, I don't even do the lottery. It's gambling, sin. But if you knew what the numbers were going to be, it wouldn't be gambling, would it? It'd be a dead cert, man. Come on now. If all of a sudden the Lord showed me what the lottery numbers were next week, I'd stick a pound on. I don't think he will, but I'm just saying. Everyone wants to know what's coming next. And everyone in the world is susceptible to all of the temptations of trying to find out what the next step's going to be. What the next day is going to be like. And how many of you, before you were saved, you used to read the stars? You used to do your horoscope. Come on now. Come on, wave your hands in the air if you ever did the horoscope. Wave your hands in the air if you ever visited the juju man. Come on now. Wave your hands in the air if you went and visited Madame Fifi and she got out her crystal ball. How many of you have ever had your palm red? Come on now. How many of you have ever had the bumps on your head red? Anything like that. Right? Put your hand up right now if you have ever, ever been to see someone to find out, read something to find out what the future is going to be. Let me see your hands. Listen, I'll tell you your future right now if you don't lift up your hand right now, because I know. Be honest, otherwise you're never going to get a change in your life. Lift up your hand if you've ever been, read your stars, read the horoscope ever in your life, been to Madame Fufu, Madame Fifi, you know, brother Juju man with his bones and his whistles, bumps red, palm red, feet red, eyes red, aura red, whatever it is. Come on now. Wave your hand. Look at that, man. Most people. Because it's common to us. It's common to us that we want to find out what the next thing is. And many, many people will go and they will, you know, even down the road, just down the road here, Liverpool Street, there's a spiritualist church, right? Everyone thinks it's a church because it's got church written on the back. But they go in there and, you know, we're in here interacting with the Holy Spirit. They're in there interacting with the spirit of their dead grandfather or something like that. You know, or their uncle, Uncle Harry. You know, ooh, here he comes. Ooh, got something to tell you. Ooh, it's behind the cabinet. Ooh, your Uncle Harry. People are susceptible to this stuff, man. They want to go and they want to find out what's going on. And this girl, she was possessed of this spirit. And it is a spirit, but it is not God's spirit that does these things. And let me even know, there are different spirits in the world, right? Those of you that have ever drunk spirits, you've probably interacted with some of these spirits when you've been in a different place, when you've been out your nut, out your head. Come on now. And I call it spiritual trespass. When we start getting into a place that we're not designed to be able to take. But anyway, let's cut forward. This girl had a python spirit, the spirit of Pitha. And this spirit would come upon her and she would prophesy and she would speak out words that sounded religious. They might have had a hint of truth. They might have had a tinge of truth. And she would speak this stuff out and people would come to her. And here we see the subtlety of the world that we live in. And all of the things that are anti-God. Paul and his brothers were on their way to prayer. And this girl starts following them, speaking things that are not necessarily wrong. She was simply declaring that these are men of the Most High God. These are followers of the Most High God, and they have come to show you the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? Right? That's what they were doing. They were men of God, followers of the Most High God, and they had come to show people the way of salvation. And this spirit was saying this stuff, but Paul got the hump with it. Right? Why would he get the hump with it? Imagine someone right now, and I'm preaching, stood up and said, Pastor Paul is a man of God, and everything he speaks is wonderful. Right? What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I'll tell you why he got the hump with it. And I'll show you how subtle these forces of darkness are. It was distracting them from going and communing with God. They had an appointment with God. And I don't know about you, but whenever you go and you have an appointment with God and you get on your knees, you get on your face, you sit down, you do whatever, you get your cup of coffee, you get your cup of tea, you get whatever it is, you put your music on, and you get with God, you speak to him, and something happens. Sometimes my wife, she gets pictures. God will show her pictures about stuff. Me, I'll know stuff. I'll know what to do. I'll know where to go. I'll know what to say. I'll know who to speak to, when to speak. You get wisdom. You get understanding. You get download. You get reassurance. Come on now. Sometimes you get peace, right? And what was happening was they were on their way to prayer, and this girl for days was coming and was saying stuff that could have made them feel really good. Right? But it would have kept them away from doing what was right and what was really good. And that's how it works. And it was constant. You notice it was constant. But it was a distraction. And how many of you know that the enemy of our souls still does that to us today? He will make us, if he can't stop you from believing in God, if he can't even stop you, because what he'll do is, he'll try and stop you from believing in God, number one. If he can't stop you from believing in God, then he's going to go to the next level. He's going to try and stop you believing that God's good. So you believe there's a God, but you think that he's punishing you all the time. Right? That's false as well. If he can't do that, then what he's going to do is, he's going to get you to neglect your relationship with him. And he's going to try and do it by making you feel that everything that you're doing apart from that is really good. Are you with that? Because what was she doing? She was saying stuff that would have made them feel really good. Are you with me? Imagine right now that I'm here and I'm getting ready to preach to you a message from God, from the Word of God. And all of a sudden someone comes in and starts saying, that Pastor Paul is a wonderful man of God. He wants you to know this. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know the other thing. He's wonderful. Imagine I bought into that. Imagine I started listening to that and didn't preach the Word of God. Then I've been distracted by something external that has stopped me from meeting up with the Eternal. Have you got this? And this python spirit is named such. And how many of you have ever seen a python? My mate used to have a python. He was a big, tall, skinny skinhead with an hunchback called Jinx. That was what he was called, Jinxy. Because everyone thought he was jinxed. He was the ugliest man in the world. But he used to have snakes. He used to keep pythons. He had reticulated pythons. He had, you know, this python, that python, Indian python. He had a python that was so long, it was the length of his bedroom. And he used to feed it. And we'd go round there, and we'd have a, you know, this is in my BC days, and we'd go round there and we'd have a little puff, and we'd go round there and we'd watch it eating rats and chickens and even a baby goat. He got so big they ate a baby goat. Where he got the baby goat from? In East London, in his house, in his bedroom, I don't know. But this snake was so big, right? He used to get it. One time he put a cockerel in there. Big cockerel, big fighting cockerel. And the snake and the cockerel had a fight, and the snake killed the cockerel. And the cockerel was trying to stab it with its talons and all that. And we was just sitting there going, oh, look at that, betting on it. Because we were sick before we got saved. Hallelujah. But the point is this. What would happen was that the python, right, would slither around the place looking for an angle, right? And he'd just slither. Silently. Pow! He'd grab that thing, right, with his teeth. He'd lock onto it, right? But it wouldn't poison it. It would wrap itself round it and squeeze the life out of it. Right? This is what happens. When we are going to get with our God, the phone rings. When we are going to meet with our God, and you've got a need, and you're going through it. How many of you have been going through it at all? How many of you have been going through some trials, some struggles? You've had some doubts in your mind. Come on now, let me see your hands. Be honest today and you'll get a breakthrough. If you're not honest, you'll stay the same. Right? When you're going through it, you're wondering, you're feeling guilt. You're a believer, you're feeling guilt. Right? You're a believer, you're feeling shame. You're a believer, you're feeling defeated. You're a believer, you're feeling like there's no hope. You're a believer, you ain't got no vision. You're a believer and you're wondering what it's all about. You're a believer and you're feeling paranoid. Right? And you know that if you get with God, you're told that if you get with God, God's going to start to deal with it. But you go to get with God, some random person phones you up. Your alarm goes off on your phone and you've got an appointment. Come on now. Your stomach rumbles. You smell cookies. Someone baking bread. Who bakes bread? But there you are in your flat getting ready to pray in the morning and someone's baking bread. What? Someone's cooking chicken at 6 o'clock in the morning. Right? You'll hear a noise outside. Something will happen. And you get distracted. Or, that's the common thing. But check this out. This is how subtle this was. You'll be on your way to church. You'll be getting ready to come to prayer on a Tuesday. You'll be organizing yourself to come to the teaching on a Wednesday. I'm going to go this week, man. I need to be fed. And then all of a sudden, someone will turn up and they will start to flatter you that, oh, you're a really good person. Seen a change in your life. You know, it's all wonderful. You know, what you're doing is really good. And you'll end up in a random conversation with someone that doesn't care. Don't even really know why they're doing it. And you'll be lapping it up.
Well, yeah, I'm spiritual, aren't I?
Oh, you're so spiritual now. You never used to be like that. Oh, wow. Now that you're a believer, you've really changed, haven't you? It's wonderful to see. Oh, you're out there doing such a good work with all those poor drug addicts in that church. Oh, that church, I've heard about that church. All those people are so messed up. Oh, aren't you so kind? Oh, it must be wonderful. It must be so fulfilling.
Well, yeah. It's not easy going there and sitting with those lunatics, I can tell you, yeah. Some of them are all right and they do scrub up well. And then before you know it, time's gone.
It's time for work now. Oh, missed it. Bus has gone. I ain't going to catch the bus now. Can't go to prayer. And whether it be a person doing it or whether it just be a situation doing it, the enemy uses it to squeeze the life out of your relationship with God. And then it don't just do it once, because if he can get you like that once, he's going to know that he can get you like it again. And then before you know it, you've missed all month. You ain't been to prayer once this month. In fact, you haven't even prayed at all this month. The only time you pray is when you go to church, and that's only because someone's leading you and you're there surrounded by people. The only time you open your Bible or your app on your iPhone or your iPod or your Android device or whatever it is, the only time you ever do that is when the pastor says, open your Bible. The only time you get down on your knees is when you've dropped something. And before you know it, the life of God is being squeezed out of you. That ever happened to anyone in here? Huh? And before you know it, you're under it. Instead of getting over it, little things start bugging you. You start, you know, turning back to how you were, right? Reverting to how you were. You remember that? Right? When you was in the flesh and you used to look for external stimulation and you used to want to be happy. You know what? Happy comes from happenings, good happenings. When something good happens, you feel happy. Amen. If something bad happens, you're not happy. Because happiness has to do with externals. But when you're with God, it don't matter about externals because you've got joy. You've got the joy of the Lord. You've got the joy of salvation. There's something inside. It's something internal. It's something eternal. And it causes you to know that there's hope in your future, that there is a plan for your future. And that means that you have hope. Because what is hope? Hope is looking forward to something. And sometimes when you're not looking forward to anything, that's when you start getting depressed. That's when you start messing up. That's when people start to backslide. And the reason is that they're missing out on their communion with God. They're living in the flesh, or they're living in the power of the soul. I've taught this before, but watch this. Because sometimes you need to have something taught to you about 50 times before you catch it. Amen. This is an iPad, I think. Yep, this is an iPad, a wonderful device. It's filled with much potential and power. This iPad can do all sorts of amazing things, but it is a device that needs power. At the moment, this is 88% power. That means that I could use this for several hours and it will be very useful and great things can be done on it. I can play games, I can write messages, I can read the Bible, I can connect to the internet. All sorts of possibilities are available for me while it has power. As soon as it loses power, goes down to zero, there's a little red line and it winks out of existence, it's a useless lump of metal. And glass. Can't do nothing with it. Can't cut bread with it. Can't even use it as a very good mirror. Right? It's just a heavy thing that you have to drag around with you. Amen? That's like us. See, when we're operating on the stored power, we're operating in the power of the soul. You're operating on your memories, on your intellect, on your experience. You're operating on your feelings, your emotions. You're operating on your will and your desires. And how many of you know willpower is good, but willpower runs out? Do you believe me? Who's strong in this place? Let me see a strong person. Come on. Who's strong? Who's strong in here? Come on now. Who's strong? Come to the front right now if you're strong. Come on, you got a strong arm. Who's got a strong arm? Come on now. Quick. Hurry up. Come on, brother. You got a strong arm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's two of them got a strong arm. Amen. You think you're strong?
You got a strong right arm? Yeah? You got the will, man. You got the will of steel. You're like a man of steel. With a will of steel. And a strong right arm. Put your arm out straight. Hold this iPad. Right, stay there. You strong? You think you're strong? Stand on one leg. Put your arm like that. Put your other arm like that. And bend. You're a teapot, man. At the moment, he's operating through willpower. Right? And your willpower will help you out for a while. Your willpower can stop you from taking, it can. No. Keep it straight, man. Turn it around the other way. Right. Right? Your willpower will stop you from overeating. Your willpower can stop you from smoking. Your willpower can get you off drugs for a little bit. Your willpower can get you down the gym for a little bit. Your willpower, as long as you've got 88% or 90% or 100% of that power that is stored up within you, you'll be all right. But how many of you know? Power is depleting. The power is getting less. The power is being drained. The more usage, the less power. Starting to burn yet? Yeah? You feel the fire in your shoulder, huh? And all down there, all down your triceps, your biceps. You know why? Because there is an inexorable force that is being pushed against it. It is called a law. It is the law of gravity. The law of gravity is forcing his arm down. His willpower, his stubborn, stinking, youthful pride is keeping it up. He's going to stay there until he's... Thank you, you can go as well. You've destroyed the credibility of youth. The law of gravity overwhelmed his will. Because his will is not an absolute law. His will is just a thing within his soul that is based upon his own strength and his own power. Right? The law of gravity is constant. The only thing that can overcome a law is another law. The only thing that can overcome the law of gravity is another law, the law of buoyancy. Right? The only thing that can overcome the law of sin and death is not your willpower. It's not your inherent strength. It's not your experience. It is not your intellect. It is not your education. It is not your family connections. It is not anything to do with your soul. It's not even your will or your desires. The only thing that can overcome the inexorable, universal, constant law of sin and death is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. But when we're operating on soul power, it's good until the power runs out. Then you're just in the flesh. So the only way, say the only way, to ever be able to live in the power of the Spirit of God, in the power of eternity, is if you're plugged in. If I've got this iPad and I plugged it into the socket, what happens then? Come on, what happens then? It charges up and it becomes useful again. It becomes practical again. You're able to use it in ways that you could never use it when it had no power. And that comes from prayer. That comes, as soon as you pray, as soon as you get down and you say, oh God, Father, Abba, Lord Jesus. As soon as you get down and you go, and you connect with God intentionally, you get plugged in. And something starts to happen inside of you.
Something eternal starts to be poured into you. And you start then to be able to, wow, you get wisdom, you get understanding, you get a bit of strength, you get perspective. You all of a sudden, instead of being in it, you get a different perspective. So you can get over it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the power of prayer is so important, because that is what connects us to the eternal living God. So therefore, when you're in prayer, when you're connected with God, you're dangerous. You're useful. You have potential. There's stuff that can take place. So if you're useful, if you're powerful, if there's opportunity in your life and it is detrimental to the spirit of the world, the spirit of this age, and the enemy of your souls, what's he going to try and do? He's going to try and get you unplugged. He's going to try and take that cord out. And it's cool if you're living on residual power for a little bit. But if he can keep that plug from getting plugged in, hello, eventually you're going to be backslidden, you're going to be back on drugs, you're going to be out sleeping around, you're going to be going back down the way you were, you're going to be turned away from God, unbelieving, you're going to be in doubting, you're going to be filled with guilt, operating from fear. You're going to be useless. And that's what this spirit was trying to do. This girl was coming under the power and the influence of a spirit that was alien to God, and she was trying to get these people of God away from the power of God so that they were going to be powerless to make any change or any difference take place. And a consistent, constant little distraction and drip and lie, getting your focus off of God onto yourself. Some of you know, sometimes we sound good. Sometimes we think we're spiritual. How many of you have ever thought you were spiritual? How many of you have had them spiritual days where you're like, wow, man, I'm spiritual today. Ooh, come on, man. Whoa, devil, better watch out. Here I come. Spiritual today. Man of power for the hour. Hallelujah. Ah. Huh? And you get distracted away from the source, and you become the source. So what did Paul do? What have we got to do? How can you reclaim your prayer life? How can you get back to that place of power? Because I'll be honest with you, I would suggest to you right now, and I'm not being funny, I would suggest to you right now that not many people in here are in the place of spiritual power right now. How can you get that back? What did Paul do? Did he mess with it? Did he play games with it? Did he accept it? Was it just like, just is what it is? No. He got violent with it. He dealt with that thing. He recognized it for what it was. He responded to it in the way that God intended him to respond. Amen. And he rebuked it, and it left. So there are a few things that we need to do to get our prayer back in order. Number one, you need to be intentional and you need to be consistent in prayer. You know, you don't have to be praying for... How many of you know, you go through... How many of you ever go through these seasons where you struggle for prayer for a few days? You know, you get a new job. And you want to get up and make sure you're ready and sort out your bus route, sort out your route or whatever. So you miss your prayer. Because it's more important that you go to work. Or the kids start back at school, so you want to make sure that they're cool and everything's fine. So you get them to school and you say, right, I'll pray after. And then
something else happens, you end up going shopping, and something else happens, you don't pray. Or, you know, you're having a lay-in, you've got a day off, and you think, well, I'm not going to get up and pray this morning because I'm tired, I'm going to have a lay-in, so I'm going to sleep today, and I'll pray later. And then after you've woke up, then you have a bit of breakfast, and then, you know, you're flicking about, and you just want a day off, man. And so you flick the telly on, and there's some random, you know, program on, some cooking program, and so then you go in the kitchen, and you start trying to cook, and, you know what I mean? Or there's one of them makeover programs, and you think, well, I'm going to decorate my house, and, you know, oh wow, I'm going to do this. Or there's a nature program, you think, I need to go out and hug a tree, or whatever it is that you do, right? Or there's a beauty program, and you look in the mirror, you go, oh, right, that's it, get me hair done, come on now, get me nails done, get me tooth done, whatever it is, and prayer's out the window, it's gone. And then what you do is you say, right, tomorrow I'm going to pray for 2 hours. And you do. And you feel good about it. And then you don't pray again for another 4 days. Right? Because you've exhausted yourself. Just be consistent and be intentional and don't be distracted. If it's 15 minutes, make sure it's 15 minutes every day. If it's 10 minutes, make sure it's 10 minutes before you go to work, whatever it is. If it's half hour before you go to bed, make sure you keep that time. Be consistent and be intentional. The problem is when we get casual about stuff. When we get casual, we think, oh, I'll do it whenever. Listen, if you get casual with someone that you love, very soon you're going to get a slap. Right? I remember, you know, before I got married, I was trying to win the affection of my wife-to-be. So I would always be looking good, be dressed well, be smelling nice. Come on, sisters, you like that? I'd always be on time. We'd always be going somewhere nice. I'd always be attentive. Oh, yeah, really? Oh, wow. That's so interesting. Wow, tell me again. Tell me more. Intentional. Consistent. Then there comes a time after you've been married a while. You don't even turn up for your own dinner. And they're talking to you and you're like, yeah, right, yeah, flick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What'd you say? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How comes it's just the men putting their hands up? Come on now. Sisters, you used to be like, oh, you're my champion. You're my wonder horse. You're so wonderful. Look at you. You're so buff. Oh, I love those trousers, the way they do that thing. Wow. Now it's like, yeah, don't wear them. I don't want to be seen out with you in them. Yeah, what did you say? What do you want? No, you're not watching the football again. No, 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 no. No, I'm going to put Albie City on. What? But it's the cup final. Yeah, whatever. Some random emotional drama, you know what I mean? And it becomes casual. And something of the essence is lost, right? So we need to be consistent. And we need to be intentional. And we need to get back to that place if it's been lost. Paul, Luke, the different brothers that were with them, that went about on their journeys, were consistent and intentional about meeting with their God. When you read through the Word of God and you start looking at some of the men of God, you can see how consistent they were. When you have a look at someone like David, the man after God's own heart, you can read in Psalm 55, verses 17 through 19. Watch this. He says, morning, noon, and night I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Though many still oppose me, God who has ruled forever will hear me and humble them. David knew that
because of the responsibility he had as a man of God and a representative of God, he had to be in constant, consistent, intentional relationship with God. That's where he got his peace. That's where he got his power. That's where he overcame. That's where he downloaded wisdom. That's where he used to get his breakthrough. That's where he could continue to go forward. That's why he didn't live in a spirit of fear. That's why, even though his enemies came against him, he trusted in his God, because he had a consistent, intentional, close relationship with him, that he was going to take care of business morning, noon, and night. Then when you have a look at Daniel, prophet Daniel, Daniel chapter 6 verses 10 and 11, it says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down, watch this, as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. Watch this. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Morning, noon, and night. What does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, you have to pray three times a day, otherwise you're not going to be spiritual? No. What that means is that there is a consistent, constant interaction with God all day. It doesn't say that he knelt down and prayed for 3 hours, morning, noon, and night. So 9 hours of his day he was in prayer. The powerful evangelist, the man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, he said this, it blew me away. He said, I only pray for 15 minutes at a time. He said, but I never go for 15 minutes without praying. So he only prayed little and often. He was a grazer. Right? Me, my wife, when she prays in the morning, the whole street knows she's praying. She wakes up, she's very intentional. She gets her coffee, she puts her music on, and then she's off. Starts off quiet. Then after about half hour, she's on one. That's her thing, man. That's how she prays. She feels it. She's on it. Me, I'm not like that. Sometimes she says, oh, I don't hear you praying. So sometimes I have to kind of make a little wail or make a bit of noise just to keep her happy. I'm just there going, oh God! And then she's like, yeah, well, you must be praying then. I pray differently, but I pray all day. I need to pray all day. I'm like, if I'm meeting with you and you say, Pastor, can I have a word? I'm praying right there. I'm like, oh God, help me. I'm serious. If you come to me today and you come up and say, Pastor, can I have a word? I'll be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And inside I'll be going, God, give me wisdom. Give me your word. Give me a word in season. Lord, help me. Spirit of God, be with me. I'll be praying. Sometimes I'll be, this might seem random, but I'll be driving into town. I'll be looking for a parking space and I'll be going, Lord, give me a parking space. Right? And I'm interacting with him all day. Little and often. And a situation will arise and I'll be, the first thing I'll do is I won't go on my intellect. Whenever I do that, I make a boo-boo, normally. Because there's lots of stuff I don't know. Amen. So I've not really been that formally educated. And, you know, you can probably tell from my accent, I've got a Cockney accent, I speak in slang, but don't let that fool you. I've got the Spirit of God. And yours truly is eminently cognizant of the grammatical parameters of the English language. But, even though I know my nouns and my pronouns, it is God that gives me the words to speak. So I will go to God. If I've got a problem, if I'm feeling down, if I don't know how to deal with my wife, if I don't know how to deal with my kids, I'm going to say, sometimes in my heart, sometimes out loud, I'm going to be saying, God, I need you. God, help me. God, speak to me. Because I've come to understand that when I'm plugged in, I have unlimited potential. And that every distraction that there is out there is trying to keep me from being plugged into my God. Because if I'm not plugged in, I can become just a useless lump. Amen? As my wife reminds me of every now and again. So be consistent. Be intentional. Amen. Second thing, when you've been consistent and you've been intentional, and how do you do that? All right, how do you do that? Make a date with God. Make a date with Him. So at a certain time, I'm going to pray. Start like that. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to pray. 12 o'clock, I'm going to pray. My lunch break, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. I'm going to go into the toilet, I'm going to go into the bathroom, I'm going to go to the coffee shop, wherever. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to download what I've been doing that day. I'm going to ask Him for wisdom for the rest of the day. Amen. Set a time and do everything you can to stick to it. Right? That's being intentional. But, make sure, if you can't do that, make sure that God is the first person you speak to about anything. So how many of you know, women will phone up their friends. Right? Men are just going to go into the cave. Men will speak to themselves, right? Because men ain't got that many friends. One guy come up to me once and said, "Pastor, can I have 10 pence to phone a friend?" I said, "Yeah, it's 20, phone all of them." Men don't do that, right? But make God the first person that you speak to about anything. So what's the second thing that you need to do? Be honest. Honesty is the best policy in everything in life. Honesty might make your route longer, but how many of you know it's going to be straighter? There is no shortcut to the cutting edge. You're never going to get where you need to get by taking the road of least resistance. Immaturity asks the question, is it hard or easy? Maturity asks, is it right or wrong? So whenever anything approaches you, whenever there's anything in opposition, whenever you've got to do anything, if you're looking at it and thinking, I'll do it if it's easy, I'm not doing it if it's hard, then you're being immature. But if you look at it and you go, I don't care whether it's hard or easy, that doesn't even come into it, is it right or is it wrong, then you're starting to mature in the things of God, and you will do the right thing, and it might be the hard thing, but how many of you know, the end result of it is going to be the best thing. Be honest. Be honest with where you're really at. Are you living on the surface or are you swimming deep? Are you someone that looks good on the outside and is happy when everything's going your way but is miserable when things are coming against you? Then that means you're living on the surface. But if you go deep, if you enter into the deep things of God, if you interact with Him in the deep, it doesn't matter what's happening around you. It don't matter whether you're on a beach in Cancun and the sun's out and there's an endless sea and it's wonderful and you're feeling amazing, or if you've come and landed after a night flight with no sleep and you come in and it's freezing rain. Just giving you my experiences of the last day. It don't matter. You still got the joy because you've interacted with God. Are you surface or are you swimming deep? And here's the thing, watch this. Are you more concerned with human opinion or God's opinion? See, if Paul was concerned with human opinion, he would have listened to the slave girl with the spirit of Python, and he would have been going, yeah, that's right. People come around, listen to this woman. But how many of you know, God did not want to use a demonic spirit to preach His gospel. God wants to use His people to preach the good news. Paul had been more concerned with human opinion, he would have let it slide. But because he was concerned with God's opinion, he dealt with it. Number three, deal with distractions. Deal with them. Be ruthless with them. Turn your phone off. Amen? When you're going into prayer. Do not look at Facebook before a certain time in the morning. Right? Don't worry about your grumbling stomach. Discipline yourself. Take a hold of yourself, of your flesh, and say, you ain't ruling me no more, because I am ruling you by my spirit. And it's going to be hard for a while. There's going to be trouble for a while. The distractions are going to come hard and fast for a while. But how many of you know, if you are deliberate, if you are intentional, if you are ruthless, if you deal with them things, then they're dealt with. They ain't going to keep coming back and bothering you. It's when you're accidental. It's when you're casual. It's when you let these things slide. That's when you become one of those weak, wafty, watery Christians that is forever backsliding. Number four, we're going to close. Don't give up. Don't give up. You might go to the place of prayer and you might not be able to say a word. Speak in tongues. If God's given you that gift. Just say thank you, Jesus. Just praise him and thank him. Just listen. But just be there. And it might be that after a day, after 2 days, after 7 days, after 14 days of consistently making an appointment to go and connect with God, that all of a sudden things start clicking into place. And now you're not enduring it, you're enjoying it. Now you know that when you're not praying, you're straying. But when you are praying, my goodness, you're changing. Everything's starting to change. And I'm going to close with this. I want the worship team to come back. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to make an altar call right now for everyone who's struggling in their prayer life. I want you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. We'll lay hands on you if necessary. We'll be ruthless. We'll be intentional about what we're going to do. Because I believe that once you connect with this spirit of prayer, once you connect with that spirit of life, you're going to change. How many of you want to change? You get angry and you mess up. You're always slipping around. You're unbelieving. You never see the blessing of God. You don't know what it's all about. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you are. Your identity is blurred. Whatever it is, the answer is prayer. When you come into the presence of God, all of a sudden, the changes that you can't bring about yourself, they just happen. In all my years as a minister, I've seen miracles take place, and they've been nothing to do with my intellect. They've been nothing to do with my experience. They've been nothing to do with my human wisdom. They've been nothing to do with my human understanding. They've been everything to do with God. So if that's you right now, I want you to come forward. Be honest. Be honest. There's no point sitting in a seat knowing that you ain't prayed for days, knowing that you ain't getting a breakthrough. There's no point in that. You might as well just be honest. Just get it up in the open, get it out in the light, put it up there. And listen, it happens to everyone from time to time. My question to you is, to those of you that are not coming, if you're praying so much, how come so little is happening in your life? We want to deal with this right now. Come on, lift up your hands. We're dealing with this thing right now. We're dealing with this spirit of prayerlessness right now.